Amen. Thanks, Larry. Have you ever heard of this person's name? Harry Dixon Lowes. Harry Dixon Lowes. Anyone? L-O-E-S? Harry Lowes? Well, goodness sakes, I have never heard of him either. Until I looked this up. I bet you've heard this song, though. It was put out back in 1920. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, yeah, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's a song he wrote. And that's kind of the theme of what this whole message is going to be about this morning, and that is light and letting our light shine. And we're going to be reminded of something we already know. The light in us that shines is Jesus Christ. I'm going to go right to the word in Genesis. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from darkness and called the light day and called the darkness night. And evening and morning passed, and evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. You know what we're doing in the weekly sermons now? We started just a few weeks ago. I think this is the fourth sermon in this new series called God and Country. We're taking the lyrics of a country song and bringing out a gospel message with it. Some of these songs, some of these country songs are on the radio right now. Some that I'm going to share in the future, it's like, I've never heard that song. I've never heard of that artist, that country artist. But there's folks who have been country music fans for a long time, and they've said, this would be a great message. So the list continues to grow. Well, today's song is from a relatively new country artist, and his name is Thomas Rhett. Thomas Rhett. And the song that he sang and sings right now, it's actually on the Billboard Top 100 chart for country music, number 80, and the song is Be a Light. Be a Light. I'm going to start by reading the lyrics first. In a time full of war, be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. Yeah, there ain't that much difference between you and me. In a time full of war, be peace. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark. You were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. In a place that needs change, make a difference. In a time full of noise, just listen. Because life is but a breeze, better live it. In a place that needs a change, make a difference. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. In a race you can't win, slow it down. Yeah, you only get one go around, because the finish line is 6 feet in the ground. In a race you can't win, just slow it down. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark, you were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. And it ends with this phrase, yeah, it's hard to live in color when you just see black and white. In a world full of hate, be a light. Like the lyrics of the song, we definitely live in a time of war. Can we hardly remember a time there was not war? And whether we're thinking of our nation or even the world, we definitely live in a time of war, a time of doubt, a time of hate. We definitely live in a place that needs change and in a time full of noise. And we definitely live in a world full of hate. Well, there's over 150 references to the word hate in the Bible. One of the first times where it's used is in the story of Joseph. And I think we all remember Joseph and the things he went through and the situations with his brothers and his ultimate great position in Egypt. But I'm going to start in the story in chapter 37, verses 2 through 8 in Genesis, and capture this one part of the story that talks about hate. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some bad things his brothers were doing. Tattletale, tattletale. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. It was a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father, the fact that the father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word about him. Well, one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Here's what Joseph told his brothers. Listen to this dream. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up and all your bundles gathered around and bowed down before mine. His brothers responded, so do you think you will be our king? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. The story of Joseph goes back a long, long time. Hate has been around for a long, long, long time. Hate between countries. Hate between religions. Hate between political parties. Can I get an amen there? Does anybody watch the news? Hate between neighbors. Unfortunately. And like in the story of Joseph, hate between family members. Hopefully you haven't had to experience that, but it's all too common. Fact is, hate can be found everywhere. I'll ask the question, where does hate live? Hate lives in the darkness. That's its home. And the only solution to overcoming darkness, the only solution to overcoming hate is light. And if you think we live in a dark world right now, imagine what this world would be like without God's presence. We have no clue as to the darkness that could be on this country, in our lives, if God were not with us. God is light. God is the light. In fact, let me take us to John chapter 8. And these are Jesus' words, starting with verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said this, quote, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. I think there's something simple we can get out of this very familiar verse we've probably heard many, many, many times. Look what it says. Not only is the point that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Let's capture that right away, that Jesus is the light. But then look what the next sentence says. It says, if you follow me. In other words, Jesus is the light. God is the light. But we have a choice whether to accept that light or not. But he says this, if you do accept, if you do follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Does that mean there'll be only light in our life and that there'll be no hate? I doubt it. In fact, I don't think the Bible would tell us that at all. But we can live in light in a dark world if we will follow Christ. So the first point to make is that God is the light of the world. But did you know the Bible also says that we are the light of the world? I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, if you're a little child, if you're an old person, everyone in between, if you've accepted Christ, the Bible says you are the light of the world too. In fact, Matthew says it this way, starting in chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Where does the light come from? Well, according to this scripture, it comes from the good deeds that we let shine out for all to see, like that light on the table. Last week, I mentioned in the sermon that we're not saved by doing good deeds. In fact, the Bible tells us just the opposite. Salvation is a free gift of God. In fact, there's nothing we can do. No amount of church attendance, no amount of giving to the offering, no amount of work in the church, no amount of anything can bring us to salvation. It's a free gift of God and not of ourselves. Otherwise, we'd brag about it. But here's what the Bible also tells us, is once we're saved, good deeds should be a result of that. We should be doing good deeds. And those good deeds that we do are like a light that shines out for all to see. That's how we are light of the world. So a little more specifically, how can we be the light, just like the song title says, in this dark world? And the way the scripture I'm going to bring out from Philippians is about having the attitude of Christ. And I'm going to be in these verses of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. I'm just going to take them a section at a time, though. And the first part is having the attitude of Christ. Paul's the one that wrote to the folks from Philippi, and we call them the Philippians, and that's how the book gets its name. And what Paul's going to do starting in this very first section of verses is he's going to ask four questions. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Now, as I ask these questions, as I read these questions, I'm actually asking them to us. See if you can answer yes to these. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort from his love? Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? And the last question Paul asked, are your hearts tender and compassionate? If the answer to those questions are yes, then verse 2 says, then make me truly happy by, and then he's going to give us a list, by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have, here it is, the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Did you hear the things he was pointing out on his little list? And there's going to be some other things that are listed, and I'm going to help us to bring out those things to help us have the attitude of Christ. The verses that we just read pointed out six things for us to have the attitude of Christ. And the first one was, it says to agree with each other. In fact, it said agree wholeheartedly. What does that mean? Everyone I talk to try to be the light, I have to agree with everything they say, every belief, every opinion? No. What this agreeing with each other means is to be like-minded with them. And what like-minded means is not agreeing with every thought, but being willing to understand the other person's thought. And then what we ought to agree on is what does the Bible say when it comes right down to it. Well, the second thing on this list Paul gives to have the attitude of Christ is to love one another. Duh. Don't we talk about that every week? Don't we sing about it every week? Don't we hear about it in testimonies every week? And the third thing is to work together. Should we just package these verses up and send it to the Congress of the United States? Yeah, amen. Okay, we think we would agree. And then he goes on to list the last three things, and they're all kind of similar. He says, to have the attitude of Christ, be selfless, be humble, and take interest in others. Take interest in others. Maybe instead of us talking more about ourselves, we listen to what others want to talk about themselves. So those are the first few verses of Philippians that were in Paul's letter. Now he continues on with verse 6 in chapter 2. Here's what Jesus actually did. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and even under earth, and that every tongue declare Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe the folks that we have sitting here right now have already declared Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. But I also believe that outside these walls are a lot of people who have not. But what the Bible's telling us is that no matter what we have done or haven't done, one day everyone will do this. Those that are above earth, on the earth, and under the earth will one day, no matter what they've done while they were alive, they will all declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, we want to shine brightly for Christ, and starting with verse 12, continuing in chapter 2, tells us how we can do that. Paul says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important." And here he starts a list again. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining, here we go, like bright lights in a world full of darkness, in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So let me just review what that list is. We had a list of six things to have the attitude of Christ. Here's a list of four things to be a light. And the first one that we just read was to work hard and show the results of your salvation. And again, like I just said earlier, salvation's a free gift of God. There's nothing we can do to work toward salvation, to work for salvation. But once we are saved, good works ought to just naturally start coming out. We should obey God with deep reverence and fear, not being scared, not that type of fear, but a respect that is so great, it's like fear. Do everything without complaining or arguing. And then live innocent, clean lives as children of God. One of the things I wanted to point out too is from verse 13, it said, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what he pleases." There's two things there that's interesting to point out. You see, I can't be the light of Christ on my own. I can't have the attitude of Christ on my own. I can't be a light on my own. But what Paul is telling us, that God told him to tell us, is that God is working in you, God is working in me, to give me the desire to do what pleases him. You see, sometimes when we're saved, we don't immediately have all the desires that Christ wants us to have. But over time, as he's working on us, those desires that God wants us to have now are all of a sudden our desires. And it's like, well, I don't desire to do the other things I used to do. Why? Because God has been working on giving me the desire. And then the other part of that, the other half of that sentence, that God is giving us the power to do what pleases him. It's hard for me to have God's desires when I have my human flesh. But thank the Lord, I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me to help me to have those desires. Well, if we could have the music start to play softly, I'm going to wrap this up. And I'm going to ask, I'm going to make a series of statements, and I'm going to see if you would agree with these. Hopefully you will. I want to be a light for Christ. Do you? But not a 4th of July sparkler light that is noisy and then burns others as those little flashes of light spray off. I want to be a light for Christ. Do you? But I don't want to be a strobe light that causes others eye pain or to have seizures. I want to be a light for Christ. Do you? But not the flashlight that's in the junk drawer with dead batteries. That's not going to be a help to anyone in this dark world. I want to be a light for Christ. I hope you want to be a light for Christ like this. Like the light of a candle. Soft, quiet, warm, soothing. A light with a gentle flicker that attracts attention, but not to me, but to Jesus. Well, as I started this message this morning, I started it with a song, This Little Light of Mine. And then, of course, we took the Thomas Rhett song's lyrics of Be the Light and based our message on that. And I'm going to finish with another song. And this is more of a Southern gospel song. And I don't know how many have heard this before, but the title of the song is The Lighthouse. Just hearing the title, does that ring a bell to some? A few, okay. Here's the lyrics to it. There's a light on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us over. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. Well, everybody says that lives around us says, tear the lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. In fact, I owe my life to him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, he has shown a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Are we filled with the light of Christ? If so, let's be like a lighthouse in a dark world. And lighthouses aren't there to draw attention to themselves. They're just there to shine. Lighthouses aren't there to draw attention to themselves, but they're there to shine. And like the title of the song says, be a light. So let's go ahead and have our final closing song, and I'll pray. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Is it on the screen? Okay. Thank you. And would you stand as we close in prayer? Father, today there's two choices we can leave with. Accept the light or be the light. And I pray that everyone here who has not accepted would do that before they leave. And I pray those who have already accepted the light would actually be the light, starting now, and shine brighter than they ever have before for the rest of their life. I pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go be blessed and be a blessing.